When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It is so exciting looking for a new home, but it absolutely is overwhelming and daunting if you do not have the right resources. Homes.com is home shopping the way it should be. It's more than just a website. Homes.com is your personal guide to finding the perfect home. Get to know a neighborhood without ever setting foot in it. With Homes.com's comprehensive neighborhood details, you'll get in-depth guides, detailed videos, and unbiased insights from a variety of sources. Parents and parents-to-be will love Homes.com's detailed school information. From test scores to student-to-teacher ratios, you'll have the info you need to find the right schools for your kids. Having the right agent can make or break your home search. Homes.com's agent directory and profiles offer a detailed look at each agent's experience so you can find your perfect match. And Homes.com's features a listing agent on each listing so you can easily connect with them without having to scramble to find contact info. Go to Homes.com to learn more. We've done your homework.
This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. Let's start with some Pittsburgh humor. This is comedian Tom Musial on WDVE in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
It's my dad's birthday a few weeks ago, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to get something really nice for my dad, something he's really going to like. So I got him this GPS system, you know, one of those nice ones with the sexy voice that talks to you while you're driving.
Right.
I'm like, he's going to love this thing.
Tom's dad, a lifelong Pittsburgher, couldn't make heads nor tails of the GPS's directions because, I am told, no one in Pittsburgh actually calls anything by its official name. It's not Interstate 376, it's the Parkway. It's not the Liberty Tunnel, it's the Tubes. So the joke goes, looking to help his dad out, Tom downloaded a special plugin that makes the GPS device give directions, like a Pittsburgher.
Get on the Parkway going towards town. Get off like you're going to Kennywood, where you're going up a hill, under a railroad track, and you're making a left and a right at the same time. Go past that crazy church up there on stilts. Make a right, and if you go past where Swissville High School used to be, you went too far.
Where it used to be, yeah. You have to know where stuff used to be, otherwise you're in trouble.
Sometimes the stories of what used to be can have more meaning than what's actually here now.
The philosopher Guy Debord had a word for using your emotions and memories as a way of wayfinding. He called it psychogeography.
That's the philosopher Sam Greenspan.
And psychogeography is particularly useful in Pittsburgh.
So we passed Bob's Diner. Bob's Diner that we just passed used to be a car dealership. And I know that because it was a car dealership when I first moved to this area. And then the Family Dollar across the street there used to be a grocery store. And I don't know that one firsthand. That's just all through hearsay.
This is Pittsburgh resident Mike Nielsen.
This place is just rife with things that used to be things. It's like, it's kind of like history, you know? It's not history like George Washington and the Whiskey Rebellion, but this stuff is it's our history.
Mike is not from Pittsburgh. He grew up on the other side of the state. So when he moved there, he had a hard time figuring out how to get around, because Pittsburghers are always telling him to turn left at something that isn't there anymore. And so one day, Mike was hanging out with his buddy Tom.
That is Tom Musial, the comedian from a minute ago.
Tom was trying out the Pittsburgher GPS routine on Mike.
As he kind of told it different ways, it was normally where there used to be that gas station or where there used to be that Italian restaurant. And you'd say, yeah, okay, you know, that's kind of funny. But I think in one telling of the joke or somewhere along the line, he said something about, you know, oh yeah, where there used to be that Pizza Hut. The light went off in my head. I said, ah, yes, the Pizza Hut.
For Mike, the former Pizza Hut was a beacon of light shining through a thick fog of impossible directions. Because here, in his friend's comedy routine, was the one Pittsburghese direction he could give that anyone, regardless of where they're from, could comprehend.
Turn left at the place that used to be a Pizza Hut.
There are two hallmarks of Pizza Hut architecture. One, the whole thing is built out of trapezoids. The windows are trapezoids, and they're framed by this kind of trapezoidal paneling on the exterior.
If you remember your geometry, you know that a trapezoid is a four-sided figure with two parallel sides and two non-parallel sides. It tends to look like a triangle with the top chopped off.
If you see the trapezoid windows, then you know it's an old Pizza Hut.
And then there's the roof, which often has oversized trapezoidal awnings. And where they all connect at the top is this big hump that just shoots into the air. The whole thing looks like a lid for the building, or a hat. Actually, when I was a kid, I thought hut and hat meant the same thing. Thank you, Pizza Hut.
Now, Pizza Huts don't all look like this. Franchise owners have a lot of freedom in how their stores look. Not every Pizza Hut has the lid roof and the trapezoid features, and some might be more distinctive than others. But there's still enough commonality in Pizza Huts that once you've seen one, you can easily identify any other.
In fact, the Pizza Hut School of Architecture is so distinctive that even when a Pizza Hut goes under and gets converted into a different business, you can still totally tell it used to be a Pizza Hut.
In every town across the world, there used to be a Pizza Hut. And most of them are still standing, and most of them are not still Pizza Huts. And so it's this image that we just all have and we're all so familiar with.
Okay, Mike is definitely overstating it here. Not every town in the world has a former Pizza Hut. And I couldn't get numbers on whether or not the majority of the old-school trapezoidal window-style Pizza Huts are still active Pizza Huts. But the fact remains, there is just something really funny and a little sad, but mostly funny about seeing a former Pizza Hut get turned into something else.
The satirical newspaper The Onion thought so too. They once had a headline that read, "You can tell Area Bank used to be a Pizza Hut."
If The Onion thinks it's funny too, I'm validated.
And so Mike Nielsen did the only logical thing to do when you get obsessed with something. He started a blog. And his blog is called
Used to Be a Pizza Hut, which is a blog about the current uses of former Pizza Huts.
It is a global atlas of buildings that used to be Pizza Huts.
I can't defend it, so I'll just go ahead and say, yep, that's what I've been doing with some of my spare time.
He even coined a word for them.
I guess they're UTBAFs.
You know, what you get when you abbreviate used to be a Pizza Hut, UTBAPH. Though I don't think Mike had ever said it out loud.
UTBAF, does that sound right? UTBAF. I mean, that sounds horrendous, but I guess that's that's just what it spells out to be. I should have done a better backronym. I should have thought of something that would spell out something really cool.
Mike started documenting UTBAFs around Pennsylvania, like Fat Pocket Pawn in North Versailles, with its trapezoidal windows done up in a kind of seafoam green with yellow trim. Pretty soon, he started getting submissions from across the U.S. and from Australia and New Zealand. Through this data set, Mike was able to chart some trends.
Sometimes there's still pizza restaurants, which I think makes sense too. They probably had pizza ovens in them that maybe stuck around.
There's Soprano's Pizzeria in York, Pennsylvania, and La Porchetta in Auckland, New Zealand.
There are even cases of Domino's Pizza moving into UTBAFs.
The gall.
And then there's a class of non-pizza restaurants.
Mexican and Asian restaurants, generally Chinese restaurants.
Chinese Hut in Toronto, Ontario.
Souvlaki Hut in Dandenong, Australia.
The structures that house these businesses all began life unmistakably as Pizza Huts.
But there are some more interesting ones. I think one of the most popular posts on the blog is the Des Moines Police Traffic Unit.
On that entry, Mike writes, and I quote, "We all love the idea of the police chief telling all the cops week after week that if they don't get their act together and get traffic violations under control, they will have to work at a Pizza Hut. And then the mayor coming in and breaking the news that they would indeed all be working in a Pizza Hut. Evidence room in the cooler, interrogations happening in the booths, secretaries playing tabletop Pac-Man instead of solitaire. That is how I picture this one, and I love it."
There's a funeral home in Australia that is in a former Pizza Hut.
Olsen's Funerals in Revesby, New South Wales.
And the crown jewel of all UTBAFs, Brisbane, Australia's Chaos Adult Concepts. Chaos and concepts are spelled with K's.
It was an adult bookstore and it had all the windows kind of boarded up. You know, as adult bookstores tend to.
Though I'm guessing most adult bookstores don't have to have their window coverings cut into trapezoids. Now, I should say that Mike doesn't have any particular affinity for Pizza Hut. Sure, he went there as a kid, ate some personal pan pizzas, played some tabletop Pac-Man, drank Pepsi out of translucent red plastic cups. But it's not like he's nostalgic. He just thought UTBAFs were funny.
I'm a pretty easily amused kind of guy. And so I thought it was funny, but I think a lot of things are funny.
But I think it's more than funny. Mike's project points to the fact that there just aren't too many companies whose very name describes their own signature brand of mass-produced architecture that they themselves inhabit.
Although Pizza Hut never meant for architecture to be the focus of their brand, at least not at first.
Pizza Hut was founded in 1958 in Wichita, Kansas. It was actually founded by two brothers who were students at Wichita State University. And with that, you know, 56 years later, it's grown into the world's largest pizza company with more than 14,000 restaurants around the world.
Doug Turfer is the public relations director at Pizza Hut. He says that when Pizza Hut's founders, the brothers Frank and Dan Carney, bought their first building, they got a sign that only had room for 8 letters.
It had room for pizza on top, but it only had room for 3 characters or 3 letters underneath that.
And any Scrabble player knows that there are really only so many 3-letter words.
Pizza dad, pizza sad, pizza eel.
And they kind of looked at the shape of their building and thought, well, you know, it kind of looks like a hut. So maybe we call it Pizza Hut.
So if they had 4 letters, maybe it would have been called Pizza Shed.
Yeah, Pizza Zone, Pizza something like that.
Now, the original Pizza Hut is still around, though not in operation.
It's an upbath.
It's been moved to the campus of the founder's alma mater, Wichita State.
Just outside their school of entrepreneurialism.
The first Pizza Hut is commemorated with a plaque.
And if not for that plaque, you'd have no idea what it is. It just looks like a tiny brick house, nary a trapezoid anywhere. Pizza Hut's signature look came later. That was the work of an architect, a friend and classmate of the Carney brothers.
A guy by the name of Richard Burke.
Burke wanted $32,000 to do the design. The Carneys counteroffered with $100 per Pizza Hut to subsequently open. Burke accepted and created a lot of the features that we can now recognize today, irrefutably, as Pizza Huts.
And from there, Pizza Hut's architecture and their corporate image became intertwined.
And so the Carneys and their franchisees began lining the American landscape with hut after hut after hut. But in their ascendancy, Pizza Hut couldn't, or simply wouldn't imagine a time when the people would not come out in droves to enjoy a personal pan pizza or a zesty breadstick. As market trends shifted away from the dine-in experience and on to delivery, many Pizza Huts closed. And as their trapezoidal windows went dark, and their roof humps rose up over empty parking lots, it was as if the company had littered the world with monuments to its own decline.
It reminds you that there used to be Pizza Huts everywhere and that there aren't anymore. We see the old Pizza Huts laying around, the sort of the dead carcasses along the road.
And now Pizza Hut's architectural legacy is one that will remind passersby of the company's failure to thrive in every single place it ever failed to thrive.
But Doug Turfer of Pizza Hut, he thinks that upbaths are a triumph.
We're pretty proud of the fact that our business became so recognizable that you can just look at a building and recognize that even as it got turned into something and then maybe even turned over into something else again, that when you just look at it, people know that used to be a Pizza Hut. That's really cool to us.
I have to say, I think I'm with Doug on this one. Yes, the hubris of Pizza Hut is the stuff of Greek tragedy. But this is not a story about failure. It's a story about hope, about what can be reclaimed, about the possibilities for what might emerge out of what couldn't have ever been dreamed up from the outset.
A mollusk dies and a hermit crab moves into its shell.
But Pizza Hut is actually curbing the rise of upbaths. In the late 1990s and early aughts, the company shifted towards a carryout and delivery model. Today, about half the Pizza Huts in the U.S. operate out of generic glass box-looking structures.
No trapezoids, no sloped roofs. They don't stand out.
In fact, a newer style Pizza Hut near my apartment just went out of business. And if I hadn't ever seen it in operation, there'd be no way to know what it once was. Now that I've seen the next generation of faceless used-to-be-a-Pizza Huts, I think that if Pizza Hut phases out their signature buildings, it will be a huge mistake. Because Pizza Hut has achieved a level of greatness here. I mean, how many other structures have there ever been in history whose true essence can shine through whatever might come after it? If you opened a hamburger joint in the Great Pyramid of Giza, it will always, first and foremost, be the Great Pyramid of Giza.
Turn left at the place that used to be the Great Pyramid of Giza.
Like the pyramid, the Pizza Hut, the humble Pizza Hut, succeeds in etching its identity onto everything else that will ever come after it. it is at that level. The Pizza Hut manages to constantly remind everyone, hey, I was here. I am the place with the personal pan pizzas, with the translucent red plastic cups, with the tabletop Pac-Man. So let us stand in awe of the mighty Pizza Hut, which, more than just about any other once-beloved establishment since crumbled beneath the sands of time, can reach into the future and proclaim, just try and forget about me. Just try.
Pizza Hut and Taco Bell. 99% Invisible was produced this week by Sam Greenspan, Avery Truffleman, and me, Roman Mars, with help from Margaret Kraus. Thanks also to Andrew Wasson, who wrote about the history of Pizza Hut architecture for the zine Dairy River. We are a project of 91.7 local public radio KALW in San Francisco and produced out of the offices of ArcSign, a brilliant architecture firm in beautiful downtown Oakland, California.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, a business tripper, or a long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels features locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. That's what I like. I like to be within walking distance of all this stuff. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. With so many hotel brands, Choice Hotels allows you to prioritize what you need. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply. Better work presentations are possible. They're called Canva presentations. You can supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. Just start with a prompt, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds. Or start with a stunning template and add images, graphics, charts, and data visualizations from their massive media library. You save time and wow your audience. There's a reason why Canva is used by 90% of the Fortune 500 companies. So nail your next work presentation with Canva presentations by heading to canva.com. Designed for work. So my wife and I wanted to take a couple of the kids to see Taylor Swift in concert. We signed in with pre-sale fan codes and logged in on separate devices, each going after a different venue. And then we got bounced out of different venues. And then she managed to get tickets in Minneapolis. So when you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/99. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/99. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/99. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire.
You can find the show and like the show on Facebook. I tweet at Roman Mars. Sam tweets at Sam Listens. Avery tweets at Truffleman. We also have a Tumblr that's really fantastic. But if you want lots more about Up Baths, photos of the original Pizza Hut complete with a plaque and a completely different comedy sketch about Pittsburgh directions that also references a Pizza Hut, go to 99pi.org.
Radiotopia from PI.